Thank you for inviting me to your studio. Before we get into the show coming up at the Art Base, I want to ask you a little bit about your background and growing up in Chicago. And I noticed that and read that Chicago has an influence on you. And I just wanted to know more about that. What about Chicago and the art in Chicago inspires your work?
Yeah, definitely. I think I grew up just outside of the city, and I went to school at University of Illinois Chicago. And for me, I think like the first real art that I remember seeing were all Chicago artists, and they were called the Imagists. So those were like the first real artists that I remember, you know, an art scene. And those were like people like Ed Paschke, Gladys Nilsson, Jim Nutt. And then there was a secondary school too that kind of came after the Imagists, you know. And one of those artists was Phyllis Bromson, and that's who my first real art job was. So I worked in her studio as her assistant.
And so did you work there as her assistant during college?
Yeah, during college.
And what were you doing as her assistant?
Right, I was thinking about that this morning. I was like, what did I used to do for Phyllis? Well, definitely in the studio, stretch canvas and do, like, prepare underpainting.
Okay.
Phyllis was a huge, has been a big influence in my work because a lot of her, even though she was a painter, she started collaging a lot. Hmm. And which I remember her saying was her collaging forced her to actually become a better painter, because then it forced her to paint more as a reaction to what she was collaging. So what I would do in her studio too would be glue down all the stuff that she was cutting up. She was cutting up those kind of, you know, kitschy paintings with flowers that were like factory paintings.
Okay, so she was taking something that was already manufactured,
yeah,
and making it her own.
Yeah.
And walking around your studio, you can see her influence in your paper cuts on art that is already made,
mm-hmm,
even if it's your own art, and your collaging and your paintings of your collages.
Yeah, there's a lot of layers.
So then Phyllis, she's still living,
yep,
correct?
Mm-hmm.
And she influenced you or suggested that you come to Colorado.
She did. She actually said, check this place out in Colorado because you won't have a job for me this summer. So basically, like, find something to do.
Right.
So I looked it up and I applied for, they called it a summer assistant at that time. They're interns.
Okay.
And to work in the print shop. And so I got that position, and my job at the ranch in the print shop was to work, at that time, was we had a master printer and an artist, and they would come out for 1 or 2 weeks and they would work together, hmm, at the shop, and I was just there to be, you know, to make sure that, you know, to help with the project,
right,
and make sure everything went smoothly. And then kind of after they would leave, then it was somewhat my responsibility to either addition it or complete the project.
Wow. And the neat thing too, just in being an outsider kind of at Anderson Ranch and going there, is that there are so many different studios of different mediums and things that you as an intern probably were able to get your hands on and experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's still that way now. I mean, it's pretty open.
Mm-hmm.
There's always artists like, you know, photographers like Kathy Opie, who's a, you know, huge LA photographer. She will come out and work in ceramics, or Tom Sachs from New York,
mm-hmm,
you know, can come in and, you know, experiment in a different medium. So for sure.
Yeah. And I think that you can see, just looking around your studio, you can see that influence here,
mm-hmm,
is that you have different mediums and you're a mixed media artist, and that influence is very clear as well.
Yeah.
And so the other question, just thinking about your background before we get into your upcoming show, is some of the works that you've done in the past and leading up to this show, Mind Funk. Your past work, one thing I wanted to know more about was the La Vaza coffee. I know that you spent time overseas. The La Vaza coffee art, and then after that I wanted to talk about your Chasing Dragons
okay.
show.
Yeah, definitely. I think 2003 and 2004, my partner and myself, Pamela Joseph, we applied as visiting artists at the American Academy in Rome. So for two winters, we spent living in Rome and had a studio at the American Academy, which was pretty amazing. And it's on top of the Gianicolo. It's just outside of Rome. It's on top of a hill, and it overlooks Rome. And it's pretty amazing. It's near the Vatican. So we had a studio and an apartment there for two winters.
Wow.
And it definitely was a huge influence on what I'm doing today, especially cut paper. Mm-hmm. It was my first kind of experience of seeing like a personal, you know, amazing mosaics, mm-hmm. you know, and it was, I didn't know how to do mosaics, but mm-hmm. I knew collage was important. And so I started doing a lot of paper cuts, and that's where that came from.
Cool. And so your La Vaza work is a paper cut?
And then La Vaza, they own a large cut drawing of mine. It's like 4 feet by 6 feet.
Oh.
And it's in their cafe in Milano. I've never seen it, but it looks pretty cool. It's
yeah.
definitely like high Italian modern
mm-hmm.
Design. And there's a great Liechtenstein and a Warhol that's in the cafe too. So I feel
right.
the surroundings there.
Yeah. And so then, did the Chasing Dragons series, is Chasing Dragons a series?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did that come before your most recent show in New York, Hybrid?
That was 2016.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And can you talk more about Chasing Dragons? Because it seems like your show, Mind Funk, is a sequel to Chasing Dragons.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So I did a series of paper cuts that range in size from like magazine paper size
mm-hmm.
to 4 feet by 6 feet. And I've been making these paper cuts based on traditional Chinese paper cuts
mm-hmm.
since I think 2007 from a show that I was in Beijing, China. So anyway, I've been making chrysanthemums and other of these paper cuts for several years, but recently somebody came in and said, why are they so small? And they were small because they were magazine covers or mm-hmm. centerfolds, and mm-hmm. they were limited to the source material I was using.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that I have my own source material, which are large digital prints of collages that mm-hmm. I've had made. So I started to use my own source material to cut these dragons out.
Hmm.
And so all those leftover parts that weren't used or that were cut out became the source material for this new series.
Mind Funk. And will any of your dragons be a part of the Mind Funk show?
No.
No.
I mean, they're part of it, but
right.
they're so far removed that you don't see it anymore.
Right. So tell me about Mind Funk now, and you've already talked a little bit about Chasing Dragons within Mind Funk, but tell me what is Mind Funk? How did you get the name?
Right. Mind Funk. I had a studio visit with a friend. She's a curator. Her name's Joy Armstrong. And she came to see the work, and she was looking at it. And at the time, we had all these different Mind Funk pieces laying all over the floor. And she's like, Rob, this is really messing with my mind. Like, I want to put them together. And even though they're not really meant to go together, they could go together. But
mm-hmm.
in her mind, like, and a few other visitors had said that too, like, I want to really put these together, or, you know. So that was kind of the idea behind Mind Funk.
The name.
Yeah.
And can you talk about the process of some of the pieces that will be up at the Art Base?
Sure. Process is huge. I mean, I'm a huge process person. So they started off as parts that were discarded or not being used, and there's a pile of those parts. So I started putting them together pretty spontaneously and randomly. Like, mm-hmm. you know, there's no real system. You know, it's all abstract. And I created a collage, and they're pretty small, you know, like paper, you know, sheet, like 8.5 by 11 or so. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I did maybe a dozen or so of these collages. And then it was like, well, how would I translate this into a painting? You know, and so I started making paintings based on the collages that were pretty much, I wouldn't say a replica, but every cut piece of paper was a cut piece of wood that was wrapped in linen. So they're kind of like jigsaws.
Wow.
A jigsaw painting.
Wow.
And so that was like my one thing, you know, every piece of cut paper was transferred or translated into a piece of cut wood that's wrapped in linen and then painted and then reassembled to look like a larger version of the collage. And so that was the beginning of those, of that series. From that, I did several paintings and then realized that I can deconstruct and make a new painting based on the collage that doesn't look like it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can actually combine other parts to it. And then it was building new paintings. And then the next step was kind of this mind funk explosion of parts that are just no longer connected, but they are connected.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like color, there's a significance of color in each of the different pieces, even if it's the absence of color. Can you talk a little bit more about the meaning of color or absence of color in these pieces?
Well, the color definitely is coming from these original the original collages that I did, actually going back to my first 2 years in Rome. So I was collaging magazine covers, and there were definitely a lot of day glow neon magazine covers in Italy at the time, and then coming back here too and combining American magazine covers and European or Italian covers. And so that's where these came from.
I think the color makes it's a happy. It makes you, it's wild, it's really happy and funky.
It is funky, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I do see the little dots of neon. And I'm wondering if, I know that you have some experience in apparel, and maybe that parts of that work are in this work too.
Yeah, I kind of have this other full-time job of designing activewear leggings and shorts and tops. And they're all based on my cut paper dragons.
Wow.
So,
and can you find those here in the valley?
You can find them. Okay. I mean, I have a website, and my line is called Punk Rob.
Okay.
Punk Rob, two B's.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of also extends into my Peloton dedication.
Yeah. So can you talk a little bit more about maybe how exercise and Peloton has influenced your work or made it the funkiness, and it's really upbeat, maybe had influence in that way?
Well, I think going back to the Chasing Dragons series, so it was a large show. I mean, there was several pieces. It took a lot of time and effort to make this series of work. And after the show was up, I kind of just remember a lot of people were like, well, Rob, you should really investigate, like, fabrics, you know. And I was like, okay, fabrics. But it just never really clicked. And I was like, what would I do on and then what would it become? I wasn't really sure about it. But I do remember at the time, I'm riding on one of my rides in Peloton, and have a pretty good community of friends that we ride together and stuff. But I do remember somebody saying something about magic pants and how it helped them get through this ride or help hit a certain milestone or output. And I was like, magic pants, dragons, power, you know, strength. I could probably put those dragons onto pants or leggings. And then I just investigated a few different places and really just randomly kind of picked one of my dragons, threw it on a template, and they made it for me and sent it. And it was like, and I showed it to a few friends here and a few of my Peloton friends, and they were like, these are pretty awesome. So since then, it's about, I don't know, maybe 2 years that I've been making these.
Can you foresee any of the Mindfunk pieces being?
Yeah, I'm thinking about translating some of these into new designs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so your upcoming show, Mindfunk, at the Art Base, can you talk about how you sought out the Art Base and why you chose the Art Base to show in?
The Art Base is such a great place to show. I love the gallery. I mean, it's a sweet space. I love the location. And I think Jenna actually came and approached, the Art Base came and approached me. I think a few of my friends who are also artists who have shown there and are on the board, I think, suggested. And I was thrilled to get the call and say, hey, do you want to do something? I'm like, yeah, why not?
Right.
That'd be great.
Cool. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for the interview, and we look forward to seeing your show.
Yeah, thank you, Abby.
Thanks.